Revelation chapter 21 tonight, as we continue this study of this idea of glimpses of heaven, longing for home. And we've looked at some interesting topics and subjects as we've moved through this. I'm skipping some verses on purpose because we have some questions that are going to come back and answer your questions from those verses. But tonight we come to verse 7. So as we've continued, we've noticed that heaven is a place that's prepared. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a permanent place. It's eternal. It's not going to vanish away. It's not going to change. It's going to be perfect. And it's permanent. And it's peaceful. And it's precious. But it's also a place, as we saw last week, a place of profound beauty. Tonight, as we come to verse 7, the Word of God says in Revelation 21, 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What a beautiful verse. Let's read that together, can we? Revelation 21, 7. The Word of God says in Revelation 21, 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Not only are we going to inherit all things, God says that I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be mine. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. So heaven is a place where we will receive our eternal inheritance. Now in Colossians chapter 3, I believe I have a slide. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Word of God says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive. What are we going to receive? The reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4 says, To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Read those last two words. For you. You have an eternal inheritance waiting for you in heaven if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You will receive it in heaven, and it's an eternal award. It's an eternal inheritance. It's an incorruptible inheritance. It's an undefiled inheritance. It's reserved for you in heaven. We'll go back to verse 7 of Revelation 21. And he that overcometh shall, that's a promise from God, shall inherit all things. And, if that wasn't enough, and I will be his God and he shall be my son. These verses that we've looked at, and there's others we could have looked at, these verses reveal that heaven is a grand reward, a great reward, the reward heaven is for Christians. It's magnificent, it's incorruptible, it's of unending beauty as we've seen, its richness is vast. It's a prize, the greatest of all time, the greatest of all of eternity, a gift, unspeakable and indescribable in all of its greatness. That's reserved in heaven for us. But verse 7 says that the inheritor must be an overcomer. So it's a qualifying promise. What is an overcomer? Well, the word overcometh here in verse 7 means to conquer. It means to be victorious over hostile powers, to subdue something or to prevail over something. So if we're going to inherit all things, as 7 Revelation chapter 7, or chapter 21 verse 7, if we're going to inherit all things and allow God's going to be our God and we're going to be His sons, if we're going to achieve that, then we have to first be an overcomer. That means we have to prevail, we have to subdue, we have to be victorious over hostile threats to our faith. We have to conquer something. So an overcomer is a conqueror, a victor, a champion, a winner. This victory has at its very core, this overcomer at its core is a foundation of victory. And it's nothing that we have done. It's been won by Jesus. He is the overcomer. And in Him, we can become overcomers as well. But we must rest first in understanding the foundation of overcoming is in Jesus, because He has overcome the world. He's the real conqueror. He is the true champion. He is the real overcomer. So the only way we can become overcomers ourselves is when we, it's hard to do, yield to Him. To allow Jesus to conquer through us. Instead of that arm of flesh saying, I'm going to win this one on my own. Are you really? Are you going to subdue it yourself? Are you going to put it in a chokehold and a stranglehold and put it down on the mat and count of three and you win? Is that how you're going to become a champion? Is that how you're going to become an overcomer in this world, in this life? Or is that how you're going to overcome that sin that you're struggling to get victory over? Is that how you're going to overcome that financial crisis that you keep coming into and coming into and coming into? Or are you going to allow Jesus to conquer it through you, to prevail through you, to subdue through you? Overcomers are those faithful and obedient Christians who not only talk about doing the will of God, but actually do it. Now, let's be clear. None of us are perfect. None of us have nail prints in our hands. All of us fail God daily. So when we speak of overcomers, we're not talking about a class of Christians that we cannot achieve to. We're not talking about some special class of Christians that was only in the days of the Bible and there's no more. We are talking, when we say overcomers, we are talking about those believers who simply recognize their bad decisions, their sinful pleasures, their dalliances, their tritenessness, their decisions to go their way instead of God's way, those simply recognizing they have sinned against God, confess it, and choose to turn from their ways to God's ways. That's an overcomer. That's prevailing. That's subduing. That's conquering. Now, can we do that every day of our lives, multiple times a day? No, we're going to fail. But how do we get to victory? How do we become an overcomer? How do we prevail and subdue those things that trip us up? Turn to Jesus. Jesus, I tried to do it again on my own. I failed again. Jesus, I need You to help me overcome this because I can't. And that's what Jesus is waiting for most of us. He's waiting for that simple prayer. Jesus, I need you. But it's one that so infrequently comes from our lips because we think we are strong enough, we're wise enough, we're smart enough, we're capable enough, when really we are not. So overcomers are not perfect. Surprise. Nor are these overcomers, that's mentioned in verse 7, believers that have it all together. Did Paul sin? Absolutely. Did Peter sin? Oh, we can see that several times. What about John? We don't read about John sinning, but John is a sinner. Timothy, Titus, Brian. Can we all become overcomers? Yes. Through Jesus, we can become an overcomer. It's something that we have to do every day. It's a decision we have to start with every day. And then maybe a few times more during the morning. And maybe a few more times in the afternoon. And maybe before you go to bed, a few more times. Say, Lord, I need you. I need to overcome this. I need to prevail over this. I need to subdue this. I need to conquer this in my life, and I can't do it. I need your help. An overcomer is just a believer like you and I. Someone who has learned to choose God's way. We become overcomers only by repenting of doing it my way and choosing God's way. So again, verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall. How do we become an overcomer? Well, first, you have to accept God's way. God's way of what? God's way of salvation. There is no other way to heaven. None. I take this Bible for what it says. It is God's word. It is the truth. It's not a truth, it's the truth. And this precious book tells us there's no other way you can get to God. God's way is salvation through Jesus Christ. So to be an overcomer, we first must accept God's way of salvation. Then we must accept God's Son as our Savior. That's not something mom and dad can do for us. It's not something grandma and grandpa can do for us. It's something we must do for ourselves. We must come to an understanding that I can't get to heaven on my own. I can't cleanse myself of my own sin. I can't pay for my sin debt and get to heaven. Jesus has already done it. To be an overcomer, we must accept God's word and its teachings. Not some, but all. Even those that are challenging and difficult to accept. To be an overcomer, we must strive to live our lives pleasing and bringing glory to God's name. How do we do that? By overcoming through Jesus every day, choosing His way and not my way. Because my way is always going to be the flesh way. And that doesn't bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we do it through the Spirit of God, if we do it through Christ, we do it through the Holy Spirit, we can please God and we can subdue, conquer, prevail. We can overcome through Christ. So how and what does this lifestyle of an overcomer look like on this earth? If we want to arrive in heaven and be an overcomer that inherits all things, and God says, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my son. Let's look at this word overcomer from a real life perspective that we can really connect with. The Olympics include thousands of athletes. From all over the world, they gather in whatever locale that it is for that time of the Olympics, summer or winter. They gather from all over the world to this specific location to compete against one another to become the victor, the overcomer of that specific event that they're competing in. Now, when you compare the thousands of athletes that are participating in the Olympics, the percentage of winners, victors, is a small majority. And if you narrowed it down to just who was the champion, the gold medalist, it's a very small percentage. The medalists are the ones who have spent years in training and have developed a lifestyle of an athlete. Some athletes work for nearly their entire life for a chance to win an Olympic gold. They have overcome temptations of the wrong kinds of food to put in their body as an athlete. They have overcome temptations to have a lifestyle that doesn't coexist with making their body a lean, mean fighting machine to be a champion of their specific event. They've overcome the temptations of wasting of time and of the wrong influence because they want to be the victor. They want to be the champion. They want to overcome others. Michael Phelps, probably one of the greatest swimming champions the U.S. has ever sent to the Olympics, is a overcomer, a victor, a subduer, a prevailer. Michael Phelps' routine will stagger you. He swims a minimum of 80,000 meters a week. Now, I can't comprehend meters. I know it's 3 feet, but it still doesn't make sense in my brain. So I put it in miles. Every week, Michael Phelps, when he's training, swims nearly 50 miles. Every week. He practices twice a day, and if he's in high altitude, he trains even more. He trains for nearly 5 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. Do you think he's given up some things? Do you think he's said, I don't need those in my life. I need to focus on what I want to achieve. He swims to improve his endurance and his capability in the pool. And he has developed a lifestyle of a swimmer that has results. He has earned 23 Olympic gold medals in swimming. 23 gold medals. I think that would qualify him as a victor in the pool. Maybe not in life, but in the pool. He needs the Lord. Being an overcomer is not a choice. It's a lifestyle. So if we take what Michael Phelps does every week to become an overachiever, a victor in the pool, let's apply it to the Christian life. How much time are we spending in the Word of God? How much time are we spending talking to our Heavenly Father? How much time are we trying to influence others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How much time are we putting the good in and taking the bad out? How often are we submitting to the Holy Spirit and subduing the flesh through the Holy Spirit? Is it 80,000 meters in a week? Is it done multiple hours a day? When we lead the lifestyle of an overachiever, no matter what our setbacks are, we're going to have victories. And when we have those victories, we have to look back at them and say, oh, praise the Lord, I was able to overcome then. and this one's facing, I can overcome it through power of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I can overcome because I know I've already done it before. One person in the New Testament who speaks about the life of an overcomer is John. John identifies who an overcomer is through his epistles. And he writes here in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation about the prize of the overcomer. An overcomer, he seems to think, and I agree, an overcomer follows Jesus daily. That's pretty simple to say. But an overcomer is going to focus not on a choice but on a lifestyle, and I'm going to choose to follow Jesus today. And tomorrow I'm going to get up and say, I'm going to follow Jesus today. And tomorrow I'm going to follow Jesus today. It's a daily thing. It really matters who we follow. In the world of preachers, we have to have people we can talk to about things preachers talk about. We have to have a sounding board. And something that was taught to me when I was in Bible college and right after I got out was to have a cabinet of counselors. Men that you can truly confide in, and you can count on them as wise counselors that will go and give you something from the Word of God to help you with whatever you're struggling with. And it doesn't have to be just preachers that do this. You too can have a cabinet of counselors, that people that you can depend on and count on to help you in your weak moments. Maybe you just need a reminder. Hey, are you trying to do that in your own strength? Or are you trusting the Lord's strength? It really matters who we follow. But it also matters who follows us. Do we have a Timothy following us? Are we building up a Timothy? Are we training a Timothy? Are we grooming a Timothy? Are we instilling and influencing a Timothy in our life like Paul did to take over and to go forward? Throughout the Gospels, we find Jesus inviting people to follow Him, to become His disciple. Today, Jesus is also asking for us to follow Him, to become an overcomer. Jesus said in John 16, and verse 33, He said to His disciples, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Well, we definitely have peace through Christ. It goes on and says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Do you have tribulation in your life? If you don't, come to me, I'll give you some. "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why? I have overcome the world. He's the overcomer. He's the champion. He's the victor. He's the one we can look to and say, "You have overcome. Now help me, Lord, to overcome." So by following Jesus, we are following the King of Kings. We are following the Lord of Lords. We are following the great overcomer, the greatest victor the world has ever seen. Through Jesus, we can overcome any situation in life. So when we follow Jesus daily, we too can become an overcomer. So we should desire, we should strive to follow Jesus every day of our life. And that's just one day at a time. Sometimes it's hours at a time. Sometimes it's minutes at a time. And maybe sometimes it's seconds at a time. But we can become an overcomer. But let's not just do it in words. But let's also do it in actions. Let's do it in our choices. Is this the best choice? In school, we were taught that there is a bad way, of course, a sinful way. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about good things. There's a good way, a better way, and the best way. Now, all of these are good. None of them are sinful. Good way, the better way, the best way. But what's the best? Why don't we strive for the best? Why do we settle for the good way, the good choices? Why do we settle there when we could be settling on the best way, the best choices? It's called take the high road. Let's take the highest road, not the low road. There's a song there somewhere. But John also talks about not only following Jesus daily, but also preserving or persevering until the end. Persevering. We don't hear a lot of messages on perseverance today. As we follow God, we are bound to have setbacks, and we all would agree with that. But an overcomer does not let that setback defeat them. They get back up and go right back at it again, day by day. Revelation 2:26 says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Oh, there's another promise about an overcomer. Perseverance can be symbolized as the ability of a plant to thrive in a harsh environment like a desert. Have you ever seen a flower bloom in the middle of the desert? Or a plant come out of a rocky slope that there's no soil. Where is this plant coming from? And it struggles its way out. It's persevered. It's the spiritual staying power which enables a Christian to stay on and even die for God if necessary, but persevering to the end. J.H. Crowell went to work on a sailing vessel at the age of 12. He was the only Christian on the ship. Rough crew, rough captain, rough second mate. But before leaving home, he had promised his mother he would continue his devotions and pray 3 times a day. When the other sailors discovered the piety of this young child, they taunted him. They poured buckets of water upon his head, and they could not put out the fire in his soul to live right. As time passed, the intensity of the persecution against him increased. One day they bound him and beat him, but still he prayed. Finally, they said, "We have the plan." They tied a rope around his waist and they threw him overboard. Realizing he might drown, he asked God to forgive his tormentors and pleaded with them to send his body back to his mother. "Tell her," he cried, "I was faithful and a persevering Christian and died for Jesus." When they thought he was dead, they pulled him back on deck. But to their surprise, he regained consciousness. Conviction from the Holy Spirit came upon all the sailors. First, 2 were saved. Then the captain was saved. Then the second mate was saved. Then several others on the ship were saved, all through the power of perseverance of a 12-year-old cabin boy on a ship of persecutors. We don't have it that bad. So it's hard living for Jesus in this day. Try being J.H. Crowell. It's not that hard. Well, the world hates Jesus. Well, yes, but I love Him more. I want to be an overcomer. Maybe some of you have come to faith but are having a tough time with family persecution. I face that. I understand it. I know it's hard. Maybe you have your faith questioned by your friends. I lost a lot of friends when I came to know Christ, but really they weren't friends. Maybe your faith is being ridiculed by coworkers. I've had some of those. I got better jobs, and they're probably still there, day to day, struggling to make ends. An overcomer never quits his faith. That's something we need to remember. An overcomer never quits his faith. An overcomer trusts God and perseveres because he knows with every trouble God has a blessing on the other side. John also talks about in his epistles, an overcomer is not defeated by sin or his difficulties. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Those who are born again have the capacity in Christ to overcome difficulties, temptations, and sin. Born-again saints are given the Spirit and power of God to overcome. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Turn there. You need to put your eyes on this. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think this will help you. 2 Peter chapter 1 is a really powerful little chapter. Let's not rush through it. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. According as His, that's a capitalize that His, that's God. According as His divine power hath given unto us, that's Christians, believers, put your name there. According as His divine power hath given unto Brian all things, I don't have all things, read on, that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us in this life exactly what we need to overcome what's in our lives. It goes on, through, how has He done this? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We can overcome. How? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, God has given us exactly what we need to overcome. When we were born again, God gave us His Spirit and power, which includes everything we need to overcome this world. 1 John 4, 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what's inside of you is the God Himself. And the Holy Spirit, and He, through His power, wants to help us overcome sin, temptation, desires, our own choices. You know when you're getting ready to do something that you know you're not supposed to do? You hear Him. Maybe not in your ear, but you know Him and hear Him in your heart. And He's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. We not only follow Christ, He is in us. His power is with us through which we can overcome. Since God is in us and His divine power and nature is in us, overcoming in sin is not a choice. It's not just a lifestyle. It's a command. So overcoming is more than just a nice option for Christians. We're commanded to live a life as overcomers. And there's a prize at the end, an eternal inheritance where we can inherit all things. What are those? I don't know. God knows. Got to be something amazing. Naturally, we are not going to be 100% successful. But we should be getting better at it day by day. You know, if you exercise and practice muscle weightlifting or something of that nature, the first days are tough. But if you keep at it and persevere through it and do it daily, or as change one muscle for another in days, but continue on a weekly schedule, pretty soon you're going to get better at it. It's no longer going to be a 2-pound weight. It might be a 5-pound weight, or it might be a 10-pound weight. Or for long, you might be bench pressing 100 pounds or 200 pounds. It doesn't happen in a day. Let's not worry if we have failed at overcoming. God can still work through us. Overcoming is a step-by-step process. And as days pass by, we need to be more assured that through Christ we can overcome what put in our path. Consider the story of Walter Davis. Now, we used to have a Walter Davis here. Did all this beautiful trim work in our church. Master craftsman. This is another Walter Davis. He was just 9 years old when he was told he was totally paralyzed by polio. He would never walk again, let alone live a normal life. Well, Walter said, "I don't accept that." He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't let that challenge that was facing him, as though it was extreme, defeat him. And day by day, through rehabilitation, through perseverance, and through faith, he not only walked, but he taught his body how to run. And in 1952, he became the Olympic high jump champion, winning the gold medal. Walter's journey, like spiritual perseverance, requires staying power to thrive, even when faced with harsh environments or seemingly impossible setbacks. We can overcome. What's at the end of our race is not a gold medal. It's not an Olympic gold medal. Those are all going to be turned to ash. What's waiting for us at the end of our race, as we're commanded to run our race in a Christian life, what's waiting for us is an inheritance, an eternal inheritance, where God will be our God and we will be His. And He's going to give us all things. Praise the Lord. Whatever those all things are, they're going to be wonderful because they're from God. But enough would be just being with God. So I ask you tonight, what do you need help in overcoming? Well, you have some living inside of you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, that can help you. You've got some challenges on your journal card tonight. If you didn't get one, I've still got a few. You got some challenges tonight that may help you this week to be an overcomer this week. Start practicing day by day, step by step, become an overcomer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this little glimpse into heaven. But before we get there, help us now to be overcomers, to see and to understand and to realize what we're faced with, what we're challenged with, what we struggle with. And then, Lord, help us to prevail, to conquer, to subdue through your power and be an overcomer tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and all the tomorrows and you take till you take us home. And then we can be in your presence for all of eternity and be overcomers in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.